place, certainly in the heart and the life of those that have trusted in the person of the Lord Jesus. And certainly today, if you do not know Christ as Savior, then certainly you cannot identify with this spiritual warfare. You can identify today with certainly the warfare that's going on in your heart as God speaks to you through the Word of God and the Spirit of God to try to draw you to repentance and acceptance of the Lord Jesus Christ. So certainly I don't know the need of hearts today, but I know that God does, and I pray that God will use me this morning to proclaim the truths of the Word of God that would speak to our hearts here today in this service. If you're here today and need to be saved, I pray God will show you that. If you're here today and you're fighting the spiritual warfare, and certainly you've not I've been doing as God has instructed us here in the book of Ephesians, certainly to put on the whole armor of God, I pray that you will today. And certainly I appreciate how God moved and worked in our hearts in the message last week, and I pray God will continue to work in our hearts and our lives even here today. Ephesians chapter number 6. If you find your place in the precious Word of God, say amen. All right. If you found your place and you're able to stand, I want to invite you this morning to stand out of the reverence of the reading of the precious Word of God. I'm going to start again in verse number 10, read down through verse number 18. And you say, well, preacher, you've been reading about all that all these weeks. Well, I want us to get it because it is vitally, vitally important that if we're going to live a victorious Christian life, the only way that we're going to be able to do that is if we put on the whole armor of God. As I've been preaching through these series of messages here out of the book of Ephesians, I've told you that you can either live as a victor or you can live as a victim. I wanted to say this morning, God's been too good to me. God's been too good to you this morning to live as a victim. I want to live as a victor because I already have victory through and by the Lord Jesus Christ. I realize that we're in a battle, but I'm glad that God has given us some things as far as equipment is concerned. If we'll put on this armor, I'm glad we can stand and fight in the battles that we will face on a daily basis. Notice again now, Paul writing to the church at Ephesus, starting in verse number 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. And then notice this next phrase, and having done all, to stand. We ended up in verse 14 last week in the first part. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness. That's where we're going to settle in with the Lord's help this morning, the breastplate of righteousness. And your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Again, verse number 14, and having on the breastplate of righteousness. May the Lord add His richest blessings to the reading of the precious Word of God. Let us pray. Father, we bow in Your presence once again today, Father, to thank You for another beautiful day, to thank You for this Lord's Day that, Father, we've been able to gather back in Your house today to worship You in spirit and in truth. I thank You for the teaching. I thank You for the singing, the praying, Lord, all that's been done. Father, in Your name this morning, Lord, I give You praise and honor and glory for it. I thank You now for Your precious Word. Now I pray, Father, for just a few moments today as Your servant. God, I pray that You'd anoint me with fresh oil. I pray You give me clarity of mind, clarity of speech. Lord, You know who is here today. You know what needs to be said, what needs to be done. I just pray this morning that You would use me, Father, as Your mouthpiece. That, Lord, I would say the things, Father, that need said to be done today. And Lord, I pray that You do the work that Father, I cannot do for myself. And Father, for each individual here today, Lord, I realize that it'll take your hand and your work, Father, to change the hearts and lives of those around about us. Lord, if for some here today that's never been saved, I pray, oh God, that you would show them that this day. And Father, they would come and call upon you. Father, I pray for those this morning, Lord, that may be going through the spiritual battles of life. And Lord, they're living more as a victim than they are as a victor. I pray you'd help me now this morning, God, to relay some truths, Lord, that will help each and every one of us here today. Father, I pray you'd bind every hindrance. God, give us liberty today. God, anoint us and help us. And Lord, we'll thank you. And Father, we'll praise you. For it's in Jesus' name we do pray. And all God's people said, amen. You may be seated. Thank you for standing out of the reverence of the reading of the precious Word of God. For a few moments this morning again, as we continue our study on the spiritual warfare of the Christian. Now you'll find here, of course, in the equipment that we're talking about that God has made available to each and every one of us. We find this morning, of course, that they are things that are defensive, the equipment that's available unto us. Now there's some offensive things, and we'll talk about those later on in the study, but we find some things that we can have, certainly that it's available to us to help us. We talked about last week the girdle or the belt of truth. Now we have our soldier, and he's still here, and he's still standing just like he was last week. And we talked about that belt of truth that went around and held everything together. And certainly it is truth today that will hold everything together in our lives as we live for the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm glad this morning, thank God for spiritual truths, the truths of the Word of God. And so we talked about that last week. I'm not going to go back and say a whole lot about that. But today I want to center our thoughts and our attention on the breastplate of righteousness as we continue to consider the resources or equipment that is available to all of us this morning. Today, certainly all of those that know Christ as Savior, let us consider this breastplate of righteousness. So again, that we may be able to stand in this evil day. And as Paul writes here to the church at Ephesus, having done all to stand, we find, of course, in this scripture, certainly not a lot about us battling, but simply standing in this evil day. And again, living as victors and not as victims. The breastplate, as we're going to think about it today, of course, would cover the vitals here. And we'll talk about that just a little bit today. It would be the part that would come around here and cover the heart and the lungs to protect them in the battle. Now, as we think about that in the physical standpoint, and certainly it was much needed, and certainly not only in the physical standpoint, but also in the spiritual standpoint today, because again, there is spiritual warfare going on around us at all times. There's spiritual warfare taking place as I stand in this pulpit this morning to try to preach this message. I want you to know Satan's always working. He's always trying to do what he can to attack because he knows his time is short and he knows he's already been defeated, certainly by the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm glad the final victory, as we talked about last week or a couple of weeks ago, I'm glad one day, thank God, we'll see him put in his place. But the breastplate, again, was used to cover the vital organs of the heart and lungs in the time of battle. And again, this morning, we are in a battle in spiritual warfare, and that takes place, I believe, each and every day in the child of God that is living right and trying to do what God would have us to do. Now, we have the breastplate, and then we have the word righteousness that's listed here in verse number 14. That word righteousness today simply means purity of heart, conformity of heart, and life to the divine law, comprehending holy principles and affections of heart. Then it also has the meaning of obedience unto Christ. And so if we're going to put on this breastplate of righteousness, then I believe there's some things that we must consider this morning. You'll find, of course, the breastplate is used in 1 Thessalonians at chapter number 5 and verse number 8. The Bible says, "But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet, the hope of salvation. I want us to think about this morning as we think about this breastplate of righteousness, and again as it obtains this morning and reflects upon the soldier and his need of that breastplate to cover the vital organs. Let us today consider it this morning again in the spiritual realm and in the spiritual sense of how we need to protect our hearts this morning. And when I talk about the heart, and I'll talk about this in a few moments, certainly I'm talking about the inner man, our souls today, that part that the Lord Jesus Christ this morning, for those that have accepted Him, has changed and redeemed by His good grace this morning. And so I want us to think about in this spiritual warfare and in this breastplate of righteousness, let us talk about today protecting the heart. Number one today, in the way of thoughts, I've got three thoughts, and I don't know if I'm going to have time to share them all today. If I don't, then I'll come back tonight and finish up. But the first thing that I thought about as we consider this breastplate of righteousness and the things that it protects is, number one, I thought about the importance or necessity of the heart. As we well know this morning, the physical heart, without it beating and without it working, there is no life. Would you agree? Amen. Without the human heart, without your heart beating and working this morning, you would not be seated here in this sanctuary. Certainly today, as you think about the heart and the importance and the necessity of the heart, as I think about creation and how God created us and made us and certainly put all this together, isn't it amazing just the human body and how it works and certainly all the things that has to take place for the blood to flow through our veins? And I mean, it's just an amazing process. But friend, when that heart stops, you are in trouble. Matter of fact, when the heart stops pumping and the heart stops beating, you are pronounced dead. You are pronounced dead. And I'm afraid there's people that's been saved this morning, and certainly we know that they're spiritual life, but today, simply because of the battles of life and the spiritual warfare that's going on, and you've chosen to be a victim this morning instead of a victor, in some ways you are spiritually dead today. You're not alive as God has intended for us to be. Listen, God has given us life, and not only has He given us life, but He told us that He's given us abundant life, and so I'm thankful for that this morning. And I don't know about you, but I want to live that abundant life that God has for me. And you should desire that for yourself today and for your family. I'll tell you, there's the importance and the necessity of the heart. Without the heart beating, without the heart working, the heart stops and you pronounce dead. The spiritual heart, not only do I think about the physical, but I think about the spiritual heart, the changed heart, the new life that comes from trusting the Lord Jesus Christ as personal Lord and Savior. Now, I think about the physical heart and the spiritual heart. I thought about the natural heart of mankind. Do you realize mankind has a problem today? And that problem this morning is a heart problem. I know we contribute a lot to mental, and I understand there's mental problems and all those kind of things, but I believe the greatest problem that mankind has this morning is it is a spiritual heart problem, a sin problem, if you will. Now, I know that's not proper preaching in our day, but nevertheless, it is still true. Why? Because we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. Oh, preacher, I've got a good heart. Now, listen, I understand when people do good things and good deeds and all those kinds of things. I understand that. But let me give you some scripture this morning that I pray will speak to our hearts and help us here today as we think about this natural heart and the importance or the necessity of the heart. Jeremiah said in chapter 17 and verse number 9, "The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it?" Then this morning, friend, we realize that the Bible teaches us that each and every one of us here today, certainly within our own natural heart, is desperately wicked. It needs help. It needs certainly something to take place in our lives. Why? Because this morning we're all sinners. we've all sinned. We've all come short of the glory of God, and we need forgiveness, and only God, hallelujah, can cleanse this natural heart and change this heart. I know a lot of people try to clean up. They try to do better. They try to get what they call religion this morning. Friend, it's more than that. Thank God it's a relationship with the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the only one. He knows our heart. But also this morning, I'm glad that He can change our heart. Hallelujah, this morning, and make it new. Preacher, how does He do all that? Friend, by faith, by trusting Him, by repenting of our sin, and saying, oh God, I realize there's something missing. I realize this morning that there's something wrong. I realize that relationship with You this morning is not where it needs to be. I realize there's something missing. I'll tell you what that is missing this morning is a relationship with the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. And there may be somebody like that here today. Well, preacher, I'm a pretty good person. I talked about that last week. There's none good, no, not one. Our righteousness is as filthy rags in the sight of God. I've tried to clean up. I've tried to do better. I've tried to do this and I've tried to do that. Friend, it's not what you and I can do. It's what Christ has already done when He went to Calvary and laid down His life and paid our sin debt. Oh, help us this morning to see. Thank God there's a change that needs to take place in our hearts. And that change, if you're here today without Christ, needs to take place even today, my friend. You say, preacher, what's that got to do with the message? Well, with a soldier, if he's going to be armored up, he's got to have on that breastplate, because he's got to cover that heart and those lungs. Why? Have you ever noticed that if somebody is shooting at someone, or if you've ever took one of these concealed carry courses or anything like that, where is the first place they tell you to aim? Right for the heart. Well, our enemy is no different today. He aims for the heart. And friend, I realize that we can be changed and regenerated, but I'll tell you what, he'll still attack us, and I'll talk about that maybe in the message a little farther. But I want us to consider again the importance or the necessity of the heart, this natural heart. Not only do we find in Jeremiah 17:9 that the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked, who can know it? Then he lets us know in Jeremiah chapter 24 and verse number 7, the Bible says there, and I, God speaking, and I will give them a heart to know me. Amen. You say, preacher, that's Old Testament. That's God speaking to Israel. I understand that. But I'm glad the God of the Old Testament is the God of the New Testament. I'm glad, just like He wanted to draw Israel back, and one day will draw them back, I'm glad He's still calling to those this morning, thank God, that need a change of heart. Notice what He says, and I will give them a heart to know me, that I am the Lord, and they shall be my people, and I will be their God, for they shall return, watch it now, for they shall return unto me with their whole heart. This morning, are you and I following God? Are you and I this morning seeking after God? Are you and I serving God this morning with our whole heart? I tell you, there's a lot of half-hearted Christianity. Hey, man, there's a lot of half-hearted stuff going on. I'll tell you what, God deserves it all this morning. God deserves my best. God deserves your best. But friend, if we don't protect our heart, if we don't put on this breastplate of righteousness today, the devil's going to do everything that he can this morning to take us away from what's really important in our lives. So we see the importance or the necessity of the heart. 1 Samuel chapter number 16 and verse number 7, God called Samuel to go and anoint the next king, which was going to be David. He comes to Jesse's house and he begins to look at those boys. And of course, Samuel, he began to start with the oldest son. And of course, none of those were the one that God was looking at. God had His eye on David to anoint him to be the king of Israel. But we have this verse of scripture. The Bible says, but the Lord said unto Samuel, look not on his countenance or on the height of his stature, because I have refused him. him. For the Lord seeth not as man seeth. For man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart. The Lord looketh on the heart. I'm glad that we have a God today that knows my heart and knows your heart. And if there's anything missing, if there's anything that needs to be done, anything that needs to be changed, anything that needs to be rearranged, I'm glad I'm serving a God that's big enough not only to know the heart, but big enough to change the heart and get us to where you and I need to be. So again, we can live this morning as victors and not as victims. Living as victims, we're all, the person that lives as a victim is always blaming someone else, is always referring to someone else, when friends, a lot of times it's our problem, it's our trouble, it's what we've done. And friend, the only one that can fix it this morning is the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. So I think about the importance or the necessity of the heart. As I've already said, mankind has a problem, and that problem this morning, he needs a change, a regenerated heart that only comes from knowing the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Not only do I see the importance or the necessity of the heart, but secondly, and I want to look at this for just a few moments this morning. I look at the attack on the heart. Now notice in our text, as Paul's writing to this church at Ephesus, he gives them a couple of warnings here. Notice he says in verse number 11, put on the whole armor of God that ye may be able to stand, there's that word stand again, against the wiles of the devil. He's a tricky rascal. Number one, we learn from our study, of course, he's a liar and the father of all lies this morning. But again, he attacks us in so many different ways. But notice, not only does he talk about the wiles or the tricks of the devil, and again, he's good at what he does. Notice down in verse number 16, above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench, watch it, all the fiery darts of the wicked. And we'll talk about that shield a little bit later on. But thank God for the breastplate of righteousness. As the enemy would hurl the fiery darts, as the enemy would try to do whatever he could, certainly to penetrate, and certainly to take out that soldier, if he's got his armor on, he's going to be a lot more protected, thank God, to stand and fight in the battle that God has placed us in. We find as we study the scriptures this morning, of course, we have been placed into a battle. And this morning I'm glad to thank God, be a soldier of the Lord Jesus Christ and to stand for him certainly in this evil day. Let me think about this attack for just a few moments on the heart. Number one, when you say, well, how does he attack the heart? Well, number one, he tries to attack to discourage our hearts. Anybody ever got discouraged in the battle? I think one of the greatest things that takes place, or one of the things that happens to soldiers in battle, if they're not careful, they get discouraged in the battle. Because it seems like the enemy is going to overtake them. It feels like the enemy is coming so strong against them that they don't know what they're going to do. They don't know whether they're going to win the battle. Hey, listen to me. I'm telling you today, I've never fought as far as in physical battle in our armed services. Thank God for those that have and gave the ultimate sacrifice. But friend, we hear about it all the time. They come back from that battle and they deal with discouragement. They deal with depression. They deal with all kinds of things. Listen, friend, I want us to look at it in the spiritual realm this morning. If we're not careful, the enemy will come against us. We'll let down that breastplate of righteousness. And if you're not careful, he begins to throw those fiery darts. He begins to do those things that gets into our heart and discourages us within the battle that God has placed us in. Now notice in the text that he talks about, again, just standing. Well, I'll be honest with you, there's not many people standing anymore. I'm talking about standing for what is right. It's already quiet in here, and I guess I'll just quiet it down a little bit more. I want to stand for what is right. And we should, each and every one that's been saved by the grace of God, should simply want to just stand for what is right. to stand in this evil day and let people know, men, women, boys, and girls know, that there's a God in heaven who is holy, who is right, who is just. Thank God this morning, and who loves all those today. Thank God this morning. I'm glad He loves today. But friend, He's also a God of judgment that's soon going to return. Hallelujah. And call the church out. And I'll tell you what, there are people going to be left behind. Oh, how sad that's going to be. Friend, I'll tell you, thank God somebody in this evil day, just as in Paul's day, here at the church of Ephesus, Paul says, just stand. Withstand in this evil day, and having done all to stand. God help me as a pastor. God help me as a Christian. God help me as a husband. God help me as a father. God help me as a grandfather. That if I can't do nothing else, just simply stand, put on my armor, and stand for what is right. We've let so much sin creep into our hearts and our lives and our churches that we become powerless. We become unconcerned. Hey, man. Y'all ain't hearing me. Why is that? Is that the way God wants it? Is that the way God designed it? Why, no, this morning. We ought to be, thank God, the happiest people. We ought to be, thank God, the most determined people. Somebody has let their breastplate of righteousness they've taken it off. Oh, I know we live in a time where preacher, it don't really matter anymore. Nobody else is standing anymore. Well, you know, there was one of the prophets that felt like that. He thought he'd just go out under the juniper tree and listen, if the enemy done it to him, I can promise you he's going to try to do it to you and I. Some of you are sitting here discouraged this morning because you have allowed your breastplate of righteousness, thank God, to be penetrated. You have allowed the enemy to come and discourage you. I'm telling you this morning, friend, I'm glad this morning greater is He that's in me than he that's in the world. I'm glad, thank God, there's victory. There's victory. There's victory in knowing Christ. There's victory in living for Christ. There's victory in standing for Christ. Irregardless of what everybody else wants to do, God help us this morning. God help me to get my armor on and help me to stand because I want to be a victor today and not a victim. Oh, he attacks us with discouragement. Just as he attacked the prophet, he goes down under the juniper tree and he says, ain't nobody else left but me. I've been there. I felt like that. I kind of feel like that this morning. Why, it's awful quiet. What happens? We let down the breastplate of righteousness. Do we believe God can? Do we believe God's able? Do we believe God will do what He said He would do? If we'll do our part, I can promise you God will always do His. Notice His attack on the heart. He tries to discourage our hearts. Anybody ever had a broken heart? Now, I'm not talking about this little puppy love stuff and all that kind of thing. But I'm talking about in the spiritual battle. In the spiritual realm of things, seems like all hell's come against you. Remember, we talked about last week, or when we talked about how he attacks. He attacks us when we're wounded, when we're weak. That's the way the enemy works. Not only does he attack to discourage, but he attacks this morning to break our hearts. As God will try to send somebody by to encourage us and help us, Satan will find someone out there that will come by to do everything that he can or she can to break your heart. Now, I want to say this morning, if you've done any kind, if you've done anything for God, if you've tried to stand for God, if you've tried to serve God in any capacity in any way, if you've just tried to stand for what's right, I can promise you Satan has come by with those attacks to break your heart. Sometimes he'll even use a family member. Amen, preacher. Sometimes he'll use a church member. Oh my! Satan will use anybody he can. If they will allow themselves, preacher, I'm saved. He ain't got no power over me. Well, he'll use you too if you ain't careful. You let your breastplate of righteousness down. You let your armor down, and I can promise you if you're not careful, he'll have you thinking things and saying things and doing things that you thought you would never do. Because he's a sorry rascal. You better protect that heart. Because I can promise you the attack is coming. Not only did I think about, did he attack to discourage our hearts and to break our hearts? And of course, this kind of goes along with it this morning. But have you ever heard this phrase, to get us out of heart? Kind of the same thing in the sense of discouragement and all the kind of things that we've been talking. But to get us just plumb out of heart. What's the use? Why even worry about it? Why even be concerned? Ain't nobody else concerned about it. Why should you be concerned about it? You've just been standing here the whole time with your armor on. Why should you be concerned about it? Just standing. Got his armor on. The attacks are going to come. But the thing about the attacks is, if we've got our armor on, and those fiery darts and those wiles and those tricks that he lays before us will just bounce right off. Some of you sitting here this morning discouraged. Some of you sitting here this morning out of heart. Some of you may be here this morning and your heart's been broken. Someone you had confidence in. Someone that you had put your faith in and trust in has broken your heart. Friend, I'm glad there's somebody that can mend a broken heart. Somebody that can encourage a discouraged heart. Somebody that can help that person that's out of heart. And that's God Himself. I'm going to close with this verse of Scripture this morning. Proverbs 4 and 23. The Bible says, keep thy heart with all diligence. That word keep this morning simply means to guard. Are you guarding your heart? Let me say one more thing about our heart before I finish with this verse of Scripture that God reminded me of this morning. Not only does He try to discourage our hearts, not only does He try to break our hearts, not only does He try to get us out of heart, but then He tries to sow the seed of bitterness in our hearts. There are a lot of bitter people today. You know what bitter people do? They live as victims, not as victors. I dare say that there's not an individual here this morning that if you allowed some of the circumstances that's happened in your life, as well as mine, if we're not careful, we allow bitterness. Amen. We allow bitterness to get rooted in our hearts, and when something gets rooted, you know what happens to it? It grows. It grows. And it grows, and it grows, and it grows. You've let down your breastplate of righteousness. And somebody has sown a seed of bitterness in your heart. And you've let that thing germinate, you've let that thing grow. And now today, you don't have a bit of victory this morning in your life because of bitterness, because of something that's happened, something that's transpired, something that somebody's done to you that you just can't get over. Now, there's one thing about this life. We have the choice and the power to choose. You have the power to ask God to help you with that, or you can carry it around. There's people that goes to their grave with bitterness in their heart. And God never intended for it to be that way. Preacher, I just can't get over it. I can't get past it. I can't get around it. The Bible says with God all things are possible. Amen? What happens? We let our breastplate of righteousness down. And the old devil begins to shoot those fiery darts. And the next thing you know, we're discouraged, we're bitter, we're out of heart. Our hearts are broken. Proverbs 4:23. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. That word issues means the outgoing or the boundaries of life. Without your physical heart, you're dead. What's the first thing they do when they pull up on the scene and they're unconscious or in the hospital bed or wherever it might be at home? The first thing they do is they check for a pulse. Amen? And if there are no pulse, the heart is quit beating, they're pronounced dead. Well, in the spiritual sense this morning, if you've not been born again, then friend, you're spiritually dead. You need Christ. If you're here this morning and you've let your guard down, you've let bitterness, you've let discouragement, you've just got out of heart. What you need to do is come and ask God to help you with that. God to restore some things in your life. Get right with God, get your armor on, and go out and live for God and live as a victor, not as a victim. We live in a day of victims. Everybody's blaming somebody for something. And if they can't blame us, they'll go back to our ancestors and blame them. Victims are always looking for someone to blame. Victors forget about it and move on. Go to the next battle, because the next battle's just around the corner. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. The importance or the necessity of the heart, the attack on the heart. And tonight, if the Lord wills, I want to look at the armor for the heart. This armor of righteousness that Paul is writing about here. How do you stand with God today? How's your relationship? How's your heart? Is there discouragement in your heart? Is there bitterness in your heart? Are you out of heart? Do you have a broken heart? Well, I'm glad I have a God today that can do something about it. But you're going to have to give it to Him. You're going to have to give it to Him. And friend, if you don't know Christ, Jesus told Nicodemus, He said, you must be born again. Stand to our feet all over the building. Brother Scott, come get us a song. Father, we love You today. Thank You for loving us. Thank You for the Word of God. I pray this morning, God, that some way, somehow, that You'll speak into our hearts. And help us today to realize that we need to get our armor on. The enemy's all around, but I'm glad that, thank God, You've already defeated him at Calvary. And I pray, Lord, that You will take the message today, Lord, is scattered and as it was. I pray You might speak to somebody's heart. There may be somebody here today lost, and Lord, they need You as Savior. I pray, oh God, show them how You loved them and died for them and rose again. Lord, they can know You today in a free pardon of sin. Then, Lord, that person that may be here and they've let down that breastplate of righteousness. Lord, they've let some things slip in. Some things come in. Lord, they're discouraged, defeated, brokenhearted, bitter.